This morning, we'll move on in the teaching of Ephesians. I'll begin by reading the first chapter. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore also, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is that? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now we need to go back and look at this, because there is some good stuff in this. A lot of things contrary to what people think, but it's in here. Just what we've talked about earlier, it's right here. We were just talking about. Okay. Paul, his name means what?
Small
or little, or another meaning to it is come to an end. Okay? And you know what Paul did? He came to an end of himself in the what he thought about himself. He realized he had a call in his life. And Paul wasn't the one that was called. It was the Christ within him that had the call. Do you hear what I said there? Paul didn't have the call. The Christ in him had the call. Okay? It's not about Dave having the call. It's about the Christ in me having the call. And that's why Paul said clearly, it's not I, but the Christ within me. See what I'm saying? It's not about the natural person. It's not about any of us. It's about the treasure that's in these earthen vessels. That's what the call is about. Okay? Hang on to that. He's an apostle. An apostle, that word actually means to be a messenger sent forth with orders. See, there's that call. God put it in your heart before the foundation of the world. He chose us before the foundation. Down in 5, didn't it say that? Being predestined, right? Okay. We were chosen before the world began, okay? Or the age. The apostle of Jesus Christ, not by, but through the will or the choice of God, okay? By the choice of God. Now, why would I say the choice of God? Let's back up a little bit to the book of John. John chapter 1. See if I can get there just real quick and read something to you. Huh? It's 12 or 13, I believe, John 1, 12 or 13, let's see. Okay. Yeah. 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, even to the ones that believe into his name and nature and character, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but the will of God. So is it our choice? To be something in God, is it anything to do with our choice? It's all about what God wants. And it's the God within you, each one of you. And he puts the desire in you to desire to do those things. That's why I say, I'm not in control. Okay?
That gives you the desire of your heart.
That's right.
That doesn't mean what most people do.
No. It does not.
It changes it from the natural
to the spiritual.
To the spiritual desires.
That's right. Okay. See, through the desire or the choice of God, okay, to the saints, which are not at, but are in Ephesus. Okay? Now, what does Ephesus mean?
Permitted.
Permitted. Now, so he said, I'm going to give you this through the will of God, through his choice, to the saints that are willing or in a place of being permitted. Okay? That are in a place of being committed. Who put you there? Paul wrote in Corinthians that God places you in the body where he chooses. No volunteers there. He puts you where he wants you. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay? Faithful. Good definition is full of faith. Not that you believe there is a God, but you believe what God said. Okay? How did Abraham become the first Jew?
He believed God.
He believed what God said.
Right.
He didn't believe there was a God. He believed, because he believed in all kinds of gods prior to that. But now he believed in God, in what God said. Okay. Verse 2. Grace. And everybody says the little acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. Forget that one because that's not true. Grace means the divine influence in your life and the reflection of that into your lifestyle. So God put something in you before the foundation of the world, did he not? Okay, and now it's time that grace to take effect. That seed of that has got to produce something. It's got to germinate and produce into your life what he put in you, that seed he planted in you before the foundation of the world.
He's changing the way you think inside. And
absolutely.
Reflected out into your life.
The way you think inside is the way you're going to react outside.
As a man thinks in his heart,
so is he. Okay. You see all these things differently as you start to, as that thing grows in you, you start to see everything else is not exactly as you thought. And if we lock up in this religious mindset of, I've already got it, I know what that is, we'll never go any further, will we? Because we think we've already arrived, and we have not got there yet.
Become unteachable.
Yes, you would. You'd be very unteachable. But he said, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said peace. Did he say threatenings, condemnation, guilt, burning in hell? Did he say any of those things?
No.
Huh, imagine that. Well, that's what they tell you he's going to do to you. He said peace to all of you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Something contradicts what they teach. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the spirit realm in Christ. What did he do? You mean he ain't condemning us? He ain't throwing us in hell? But he's blessing us with all spiritual things in the realm of the spirit in Christ Jesus. Paul said, we're seated in heavenly places or spiritual places in Christ. That heavenly places is just realm of the spirit or spiritual place. Okay? Verse 4, he says, accordingly, or just as he has chosen us. Did you see that? Just as he has what?
Chosen us.
Imagine that. In him, before or prior to the conception of the cosmos, the orderly arrangement. Now, right or wrong, whether you believe it or not, God showed me something about the cosmos. The orderly arrangement. What does that mean to anybody in your mind? The word cosmos means the orderly arrangement.
The way that all the planets and everything, you know,
okay,
exist.
But again, that's external.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going internal. Okay. Because everything we need in here is going to the internal side. It says, according to his, before the conception of the cosmos. Before, and I'm going to say that right front so you'll get where I'm going. It's Adam. It's the Adamic thinking. Until Adam said, I will be like the Most High God, I'll set on the side of the north. Till he chose the plan to go against what God said, there was no world. There was no orderly arrangement in the man, in man's world. It was God's world. But God let Adam create his own world. And in that, he created chaos and problems to no end. See? So when Adam said that, when Adam said, I will be like the Most High God, it says in Isaiah. When he said those words, that's when he slayed the lamb. That was the lamb slain before the foundation or the conception of the world. Because the world was conceived inside. It's not the external. It's in here.
Doesn't that make it something other than spirit?
Sure it does, if it's external.
The cosmos, no, internal.
Well, he took it from spiritual, he took it to natural. Mm-hmm. Same thing, yes.
Man took it to natural
because that's the easy way.
Didn't intend for it to be that.
No. Well, he did, in a sense, because he wanted us to experience our mistakes so we could see that that wasn't the best advantage for us.
Doesn't that go back to where we were talking about when we created?
Absolutely.
Created.
Yes. That's why he calls us creators, because we created this mess.
There was no cosmos until we created it.
Until we created it. Okay, the rest of that verse says that we should be what?
Holy.
We literally, it should say that we should exist holy or unblamed or blameless and unblemished before God or directly in front of him. So we could stand before him, right before God, look him right in the eyes and be holy, unblameable, not guilty. Again, that list of things that God says you are: holy, righteous, unblameable, not guilty,
more
forgiven. See? Yeah, everything, all the good things he says. Everybody wants to focus on those old negative things that come out from under the law. And they drag it over here and try to add it into the new covenant. It's not there.
That's where the cosmos comes from.
That's the cosmos. That's that orderly arrangement in a natural mind wanting to bring that stuff in. See? It's something spiritual. Verse 5, having predestinated. That word predestinated literally means predetermined. So God predetermined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now let me do something with this. Having predetermined us into the adoption as, not of, but as children. This word is, I can't say the word because it's a compound word in the Greek. It's hard enough for me to say one word sometimes, but to put two of them together to make another word, it's hard for me to put it out. So I'm going to say it this way. It's a compound word, but the root of this word for children is weos. It's a mature son. Say, he... Beg pardon?
Mine says son.
Just S-O-N? Okay. It could be sons, absolutely. But mature sons, it should say sons. But if the root word of it is weos, is the mature son. And every time Jesus was mentioned as a son, it's the word weos.
That one's what, 5206, but its root is
yeah.
Weos.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 5207, I believe we all said it.
Yeah, 5207.
Okay. Okay, but anyway, he predestined us or predetermined us into the adoption of mature sons. That's speaking about the Christ. That's first fruit. Through, not by, but through Jesus Christ to himself. Say, back to God. We're talking about God here doing all this stuff. He predetermined us to go through Christ to come back to himself. According to the good pleasure or the satisfaction of his choice or his purpose. That was his choice. That's what he wanted. And he'll get what he wants. There's several times through the scripture where it says God's plans and purposes will prevail. That means it can't fail. Okay? He's going to get what he wants. Verse 6, it goes on to say, to the praise of the glory of his grace. There's that divine influence again. See? God's influence in your life, because God is in your life, isn't he? He's the center of your life. And when he's there, once that seed germinates, it's going to start producing some fruit. Isn't it? It produces a fruit in your life, and that is in the reflection into your lifestyle. When that thing in your mind grows to where you understand who you are, that you are a weos son destined to be part of this Christ body, guess what? You're going to start acting like it. But until you believe it, you won't act like it. You'll still act like part of the world, because a double-minded man is what?
Unstable.
All of his ways. See, I can't get it right. See, if the foundation isn't right, the house is not going to be right, is it? Don't get into condemnation because you make a mistake. Get it right. See, he doesn't say to condemn you. Get it right. Mistakes are a gift of God. He's not condemning us, so we shouldn't condemn ourselves. Just go back and get it right. Just go back and get it right.
He's correcting us from the inside to the outside, from the thought processes out, and it'll show everything we do.
He's correcting us to encourage us to grow and be better. And it's not a punitive thing. And most people think correction is punitive. So that's why people don't like to be corrected, because they always see it in a negative light, because that's where their thought process is.
His burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
So once he corrects it, whatever he's corrected,
you'll see it.
The way you are.
It'll be okay. Uh-huh. Just let it go. Okay, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when we discussed that, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Okay? Wherein he has made us accepted. How many people need to hear that?
Everybody, yeah.
They don't think they're accepted. I'm not good enough.
That's what they've been told.
They've been told you weren't good enough. He said, he made us accepted. And God made us accepted in the beloved Son.
It says also here, endued with special honor.
Mm-hmm.
Accepted.
Well, it's a special honor, but see, it's like, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do that.
That's awesome.
I'm telling you. See, but how many people need to see that? See, because they just read over them words that somebody said, and they listen to what a preacher says, but the preacher don't think, he just reads it off of a page too. Come on. That's not where it's at.
We all need to see it, even those who have their eyes open, because sometimes the world tries to make us forget.
Oh, they try to poke your eyes out, I'm sure. They try to shut your eyes. Because all you do when you come into the light, you become part of that light. And then that light is bright, you know. And when you get up in the morning and it's dark and then bright lights come on, what's it like? So when you get around them, it bothers them, because you can see things they can't see. They're intimidated.
Their pupils are not.
They're not ready for it. They're not ready for that light. Okay?
You know, this is something right here that you should have, so that whenever you're in a pressure situation, pain, whatever the circumstances, God's doing to use as a catalyst to bring you to the next
level.
You may need something to kind of help remind you of who you are, so that you don't fall into that trap of self-pity or anything other than I'm a son.
Hey, there's thousands of ways that we can probably see portions of the things that's going on. Just like I read this thing when I started. Where is it at? Oh, no one can teach me who I am. Like we discussed earlier. No one can teach you who you are. I can't tell you you're a son of God and this is your destiny. I can't teach that to you. Someone may describe part of you or part of me who they see me as, but that doesn't mean that's who God sees me as, does it? But who I am is something I have to remember by myself.
Well, everybody sees just parts of you. God sees the whole.
That's right. See, so they're describing parts of you when they say something about you. That's not the whole of who I am. And they probably don't have the capacity to see me in my wholeness. Only the Spirit of God can see you in your wholeness.
And that's only their opinion. And their opinion is not
yours. Yeah, they're like rear ends. Everybody's got one.
That's a very special encouragement.
Sure it is.
Not accepted, but to know that you're endued with a special honor. I mean, you know,
sure it is.
Son.
That's first fruit. That's as high honor as it could be.
Yeah.
This is my well-beloved son in whom I am well pleased.
Whenever things feel like it's crashing down on you, that's something that could help you so much up here in your mind.
It should.
To deal with that.
Yeah. But see, Father's doing that through Him, bringing us through Him. Yep. Verse 7, it goes on and says, in whom we have redemption. Okay, you know what that redemption literally means? It's liberty procured by the payment of a ransom. It's the liberty that I procured through what He paid. He paid the ransom, I didn't. But I can accept it because He gave it to me. Through His blood, the forgiveness or the pardon or the freedom from sin, not of sin, but from sin. And that's that paratoma, you know, the unintentional or even intentional sideslip, miss, whatever. Whatever it is, it's already taken care of. According to the abundance of His what?
Grace.
What is His grace? It's not a big pile of money somewhere in jewels. But it's the influence inside of you. The abundance. How much influence does God have on you? That's what He's talking about.
He's molding you.
He's shaping you and molding you. Everything. See, it's all in Him. It's all about what's inside of you. And when you release trying to be... When I had to release trying to be Dave. It's not important, Dave. It's about the Christ within me. Just like Paul said, it's not I, but the Christ that dwells within me. I have to realize that the message that the Christ in me has to go forth with those orders and fulfill what God has given the Christ in me to do. It's not about Dave. It's not about Dave reaping something from what God's wanting me to do. It's just about being obedient. Every father and mother wants their children to be obedient, productive members of society. And God is no different. He's exactly... Where do you think we got the idea of that? From the God within us. He wants us to be as productive and healthy and obedient as we want our children to be. It's the same thing. We don't have to worry about trying to come up with some big, deep thought process. It's very simple. He wants us to be just like Him.
You know, when He's molding and shaping us, He's doing it from the inside to the out. You ever think of that? That's kind of, you know, when they're potters shaping it, they're shaping from like the outside.
And the inside. He's got both ways.
Yeah. This is God starting on the inside and shaping it on what? Shaping mm-hmm. it to the outside, to the reflection.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
I can't do that.
No, we if we could do ourselves, what did He do? Why did He go on the cross, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, verse 8. Wherein He has abounded into us. Where did He go?
Inside.
Into. Not to us, but it's into. The Greek word is ice. He abounded into us in what? All
wisdom.
Does it say part wisdom? Part understanding?
Always.
What's inside of you? What's inside of you?
All wisdom.
All wisdom and all understanding. You know why? because it's in him.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you something. In the little book of John, the little epistles of John, 1 John, right before Revelation, just a minute, and I'll get there. Almost there. If I'm late 5:8. No. 1 John 3. Okay. 1 John 3, I'm going to start with verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteousness. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or made apparent, that he destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, because his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin or err, because he is born of God. In this, children, the children of God are made apparent, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not do righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. We already know everything. It's inside of us. We can't say arrogantly, I know everything, because I haven't experienced it yet. But in my life, I will experience to get to where I'm supposed to go, to know all things that he wants me to know. You will too. See? So you just got to bide your time, go at his pace. We can't speed it up. We can't slow it down. If he's got the control, if he's driving, what control have we got? Yeah, I haven't got any. He's going to get it there no matter what I do. I can't mess up God's plans. If I could mess up God's plans, then I should be called God, shouldn't I?
We've just been to rest.
Just relax. Let him do it. What did Greyhound you say? Relax and leave the driving to us. Take the bus and leave the driving to us.
He's not the co-pilot.
No, he's not the co-pilot. He be the pilot.
Don't worry, be happy.
Something to that effect.
I like that.
Now here's some really good ones right here. This next verse, in verse 9. Having made known to us, it didn't say he's going to make it known to us. What did he say? Past tense. He's already made known to us the mystery of his desire or his choices. He's already told us. Does that mean we understand it?
No.
Not yet. We haven't experienced it yet. But it's already there, isn't it? He's already made it known to us according to his good pleasure or his satisfaction, which he has purposed or exhibited in himself. So he said, look here, I've already made it known to you, but you don't know what I've made known to you yet. But I have exhibited it in my Son, Jesus, the first man, my first begotten Son. Okay? And now there's your pattern to look at. So anything that doesn't look like that, and we're not talking about arms and legs and long hair and blue eyes and a beard, but we're not talking about that. But the nature and the character of this man, the way he portrayed his life on this earth, that's what I'm supposed to be. That's the view God told me I am. I had a preacher come to me one time, a local preacher, and he said, Dave, I got a revelation. I said, really? He said, I got to tell it to you. I said, okay. He said, and his first words out blew it, but he said, when the rapture happens. And he said it was a revelation. He said, God told me we'd all look just like him. 32 years old, 33 years old. Beard, long, straight brown hair, and blue eyes. And I had to bite my tongue to not laugh in his face. That a man who has been ministering for probably 30 years at that time and told me something as childish as that is. And believed. He said, and if you tell anybody, you make sure you tell them who told you that. He wanted the credit for that. But I have enough compassion. I'm not going to tell his name and ridicule him that much. Publicly, I wouldn't do it. I didn't do it to his face, and I won't do it any other way either. I won't tell his name. But he wanted me to. Anyway, that's religion at its heights right there. Which he exhibited in himself, in verse 9 we end up. In verse 10 it says, in the dispensation, most people believe dispensation has to do with time. It doesn't. The word dispensation here is the administration. Okay. In the administration of the fullness or the completing of time, he, cross out this next word, might, that he gather together or condense in one all things in Christ. That he condense all things in one in Christ. Both the ones in heaven and the ones on earth in him. Okay. He's going to take the ones in the spirit realm. He's going to take the ones in the earthly realm that never ascended to the heavenly realms. And he's all going to put them in one in him. And at the end, that's what it's going to be.
It is finished. Reconciliation.
That's absolute reconciliation.
The great word, pause.
Yeah. It's all. It's earthly and spiritual. And I got some things in Genesis there. Genesis 1, 1 through 3. That's about, you know, the spiritual man being put together, but I'm not going to go there right now. Anybody wants it, they can ask me later. I don't want to get sidetracked because I could spend all day on this one. Okay, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have what? We inherited an inheritance from him. We obtained an inheritance from him. By what? By being predestined or predetermined according to the purpose of him. Now, the word right here is not purpose. The word says showbread.
It says what?
Showbread. Like the showbread that was set in the temple in the old tabernacle. Okay? And it says here, what it's saying is, rather this, predestined or predetermined according to the showbread of him. The showbread was something set out to exhibit. And didn't Jesus said, I am the bread of life? That's first fruit sons. We are predestined to be set out here as an example to the rest of humanity, just as he was set out as an example to humanity, to us. And then we should reflect that same picture back out to the rest of humanity. That's what he's trying to tell us. Who works or activates, the word should be activates all according to the what? Purpose of whose will? Huh. What's that got to do with mine? My will's not involved in it, is it? See, it's about him doing it when he wants. See, he knows the timing. We've all got vehicles sitting out here in the parking lot, and they all got a timing chain in them. And that timing chain, as long as it works the way it's supposed to, that engine, every time you turn that key, that thing's going to start. But if somebody goes out there and moves the distributor and gets that timing mark out of place, what happens? Sputters, coughs, you know, it won't run good at all one way, either too high or too low on your timing. It's got to be right on that mark, top dead center or a couple degrees, either way is all you got. Okay? And it's the same with God. He's got us timed a certain way, everything according to his purpose, in his timing. And he knows exactly how and when and why. So we've got to pay attention and find out what he wants and not be so concerned with what we want.
We got to fire on his timing.
On his timing. We got to be ready to fire up.
Firing off his timing, it's useless.
It just wasting energy. Burning more gas than ever, but not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I know God's not short on fuel, but...
But we are.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 12. That we should be or exist the praise of his glory. See, the reason he did it was that we be the praise of his glory. See, the greatest form of worship is imitation. Would you agree?
Yeah.
The book says, the New Covenant says, we are to be imitators of Christ. It says when he appeared, we'll be just as he is. And as he is, so are we in this world now. Isn't that amazing? But people don't tell you that, do they? They just tell you you're going to hell if you don't do us what we tell you and give us your money. Something just don't line up with what his language speaks. Okay? That we should exist the praise of his glory, the ones who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The word of truth, right? I'm trying to see what I wrote there. Okay, yeah, the word of truth. And the gospel of your what?
Deliverance.
In whom also, after that you believed, okay? That word salvation is deliverance. In whom also, after you believed, or having believed, it should say, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with what? With the Holy Spirit of what? Of promise. Okay? Let me read you a verse in Acts chapter 1. Let me read you something. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. In verse 4 it says, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Wait for the promise. Wait for the seal. Don't be in a hurry. Don't go out and try to do your own thing. Wait on God. See, everybody's trying to help God today. God don't need our help. He needs our obedience. Pure and simple. Okay, verse 14. That we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, or it's something given in advance as security for the rest. Okay? It's something given as a security for the rest that will come. But the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, right? Now my eyes, this lighting is tough on me right now. I'm in 14, right?
Yeah,
okay. Right. Which is the earnest, or the what's given in advance as a security for the rest of our inheritance until... I can't read my writing. Until the redemption or the deliverance of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What is the purchased possession?
Me.
Absolutely you. Absolutely you. In 1 Corinthians 6, let me just read a few of these to you. I got two verses I'm going to read. 1 Corinthians 6. Almost there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Yeah, verse 20. And it says... I'm going to start with the last part of 19. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you belong to Him, then what right do you really have other than to love Him and obey Him? And the other one is chapter 7, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians. 7:23. Let me turn a page. It says, you are bought with a price, you be not ye the servants of men. You were bought with a price, be not servants of men. What's it saying?
Serve him, not somebody else.
Do not be a slave to humanity.
Or your own humanity.
Well, he just said humanity, it's all humanity. Yeah. To your own humanity or any other humanity. See? And that's what religion does. They want to make you a slave to their organization, to their way of thinking. He says, do not be a servant. That word servant is doulos, is slave. Do not be a slave to humanity. But that's where they're at. Okay? It's a shame, but that's the way it is. If he wanted to be different, wouldn't it be different? It would be different. If God wants it different, it will be different. But if just because we want it, that doesn't mean anything. It's what does God want? Fifteen, right? Okay. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks or express gratitude for you, making mention of you in my prayers, in order that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, okay, of glory, cross out that word may because it's a doubt word, it's not there. The Father of glory give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the, not knowledge, but in the acknowledging of Him. Acknowledging. It's not a knowledge of Him, but the acknowledging of Him. Everybody has knowledge of God to some degree, but we want to acknowledge Him. A lot of different meaning in that word.
Oh, yeah.
It's giving the credit back to Him,
yeah.
Not just saying there is a God, but I acknowledge Him, and He's the one. My focus is on Him.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this next verse, good one too. The eyes of your understanding. You know what that word understanding is? It's a Greek word cardia, for heart. Okay. Literally, It's in your mind. It's talking about your mind. The eyes of your mind being enlightened, that you, cross out that next word, may, that you know what is the hope or the expectation of His calling, and that what the riches of His glory or the fullness of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. Okay? Figure out what the inheritance is in the saints. What is the riches of God's glory and His inheritance? What is it?
Christ.
In the Old Testament, Abraham, this is a good example from the Old Testament, he said, Abraham was complaining he didn't have anybody to give his inheritance to. And God said, Abraham, I am your great and exceeding reward. Mm-hmm. So what's the reward? God. The greatest reward there is, the most rich thing you could have in the universe, is God Himself. If I got God, I don't have to worry about anything else. See? But we think that God's up there somewhere, and as long as we think He's up there somewhere, like it says in Matthew 5:18, that until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle in any wise pass from the law. As long as our concept in our thinking process is God's up there and we're down here, we'll never come out from under the law. So consequently, we can't grow. We've got to come out from under that condemnation of the law and live in the freedom of the new covenant. That's the thing we have to come to. Verse 19, we have to know what that inheritance is, and that's Him. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding or the surpassing greatness or magnitude of His power toward us, the ones that believe according to the energy of His mighty power, okay? Which He activated, the word wrought there is activated, which He activated in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavens. See, He activated it. He activated everything He had when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. Well, guess what? Jesus, it says, is the head of that body. Is that not true?
Yeah.
What are you? You're part of that body. That's why Paul could say, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. If Jesus went to a heavenly seat, guess where you are? You're right there with Him, see? Okay. Verse 21, far above all principality, that word principality, far above all rule and all authority is what it should say, and power and dominion and every name or every nature or every character that is named or mentioned, not only in this age, it's not world, it's age, it's aeon, 165 in the Greek, but also in the one which is to come. So He set Him above everything, not in this age, but in the one, what's to come too, the one that's to come. The next life, beyond this shell we call body. And verse 22, and has put all under His feet. What's His feet represent?
Lifestyle.
His lifestyle. What He walked out in life, He put all things under His feet. He overcame every obstacle that the world had to offer. Can you? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And gave to Him the headship, should not be the head, to be head. It gave him the headship over all the church. The other thing in there, all things, isn't right. It should be, he gave you the headship over all the church. So he's the head of the church, we're the body of the church. Which is his body, the church which is his body, and that word for body there is soma. It's for a live, living body. Okay, active body. Whereas another word, carrion, which speaks of a dead body. Okay? But this one, or a corpse, you know. But this one is the live one. And that's the fullness, which is his body. And it's saying that the body is the fullness of the one that fills all in all. Who else could it be but the Christ? There's so much stuff in this hit that everybody just reads over and they don't sit and take time to hear what the Spirit of God wants to open up in your life. When you can hear this, your life changes. You don't have any option in that. Because just like you said, Lloyd, as a man thinks in his heart, in his mind, when your mind opens up to see this rose opening up, not as a little bud, but as a big, beautiful flower, you're going to be that beautiful flower. See, in God's eyes, what are we? We're that big, beautiful flower. It's already opened up. He already sees the end result of what we've gone through. He knows what it's going to do to us. It's going to open us up. Anyway, I want to read one verse. I never got this. In verse 11, I wanted to read the Living Bible. Just because... Let me see if I get this page to turn. Oh, this little tiny print. Okay. It says, moreover, because of what Christ has done, we have become gifts to God that He delights in. For as a part of God's sovereign plan, we were chosen from the beginning to be His, and all things happened just as He decided long ago. Huh.
That's pretty good.
It says it pretty good, don't it? Pretty nice. I like it. Just the way he wanted.
Understand that.
Huh? It's hard not to understand it, isn't it? See, he set up a plan for us, and we're going to walk it just like Jonas. He told him to go one place. He didn't want. I don't want to go there. I'm going out to take a sea cruise. But the sea cruise made a loop and brought him back and took him. I'd be glad to go to Nineveh.
Something to
Satan. Jonah was still mad after Nineveh.
Yeah.
The big,
He made it for
Bible, and everybody believed and turned them in their wicked ways. He said, look, God, I knew you was going to do this. You're so compassionate and so loving that I knew you was going to save all these nasty Ninevites that has done bad things to Israel.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't want to go. He knew that God was going to forgive him.
Well, see, it's not our... It's, you know what they told us in the Marine Corps? Yours is not the reason why, just to do or die. Means you're going to do it whether you like it or not. That was one we had to memorize.